Business Class is brought to you by the Tourism Academy, harnessing the power of science, business psychology, and adult education to advance the tourism industry and build sustainable economies. Learn how to engage your community, win over stakeholders, and get more visitors at tourismacademy.org.
Steve Ekstrom here with the Tourism Academy's Business Class podcast. And today's guest is a friend that I have known for long enough to say that she probably knows me with having hair. Kristen Esposito, founding partner of Esposito Global Partners, which is a dynamic firm helping destinations, retail, attractions, activities, shopping centers really capitalize on tourism markets, and a member of the Brand USA Board of Directors. So Kristen, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Stephen. And yes, I do remember you, Aaron. I remember you very well, and you're still as handsome as ever.
I've been told I'm one of those people you can't forget, and I hope that's a compliment.
It absolutely is, and it has been a long time that we've known each other, and it's a pleasure to be here with you today.
So tell me, how did you get your start in tourism?
I really fell into the tourism industry. It was while I was at Macy's. I had been with Macy's for 18 years, and my career had spanned in many different departments of Macy's. When you work for a department store with 800 stores nationwide, there's a lot of opportunity to jump around. So I was hired in the special events and PR department, and it was predominantly overseeing a lot of their charitable events, such as their Shop for a Cause, Thanks for Sharing, those benefit shopping days, and then ran the cause marketing department, which we created the Go Red for Women campaign as a multi-million-dollar sponsorship. And up until COVID, it was still a staple initiative for Macy's. So we had gone through a very large merger. Federated Department Stores became Macy's Inc. And we became one Macy's, where we used to be divisions. So it used to be Macy's East, Macy's West, Macy's Midwest. And I was asked to interview for their it didn't even have a title at the time. I think it was, they were calling it the Vice President of Visitor Centers. And so obviously the Herald Square having the largest visitor center in the New York City market, they asked me to interview, and then I was given the position. And so it became the Vice President of Tourism Marketing and Development. And so it was, we had from San Francisco to LA to the Texas market. So it was, when you have 800 stores, there were probably around 65 that were deemed as tourism destinations. And so that's how I got into the tourism industry and met you, and working with NYC and Company and doing a lot of their sales missions and trade shows.
So if you sort of fell into this, what did you think you were going to do when you grew up?
Well, I love to build. I mean, I always looked at positions that had never been done before. So the position that I had when I was brought into Macy's was a brand new position. They were really looking to have somebody come in and help with a lot of these charitable events that the special events team that does the parade and the flower shows and those personal appearances. They went back in the day when we used to have J-Lo and Mariah Carey during their fragrance launches. You know, they didn't really have the expertise and the time to really look at these charitable giving programs and events. So from that, I was looking at it from the perspective of, we did a lot of events that were really just for smaller communities. So we did something called Follow a Leader, which was an essay contest that was throughout the East Coast, but it really just benefited a handful of students with scholarships, whereas I really felt that we should be touching every community of Macy's and really giving back to the communities we serve. And that's where we started to look at the Go Red for Women campaign and the Thanks for Sharing, and really building that small special events department charitable piece into now these multi-million dollar campaigns that give back to the communities and the local communities. So that's really what the tourism piece was, is that they didn't really have, each of the divisions had maybe one or two people that ran the tourism department. It was the 10% discount. That's what you were pushing. So for me, it was really about, like, how do we really put ourselves on the map, as knowing that shopping is the number one thing that anybody does when they're traveling, myself included.
What is your best shopping find while traveling?
Oh, that's a good question. I have so many of them. I think that what I love about shopping is being able to buy local. So I always use the example of when I went to Maine and found sea bags, which is they're bags that are made out of used sailboat sails. And so it's little things like that that you just really love. It's finding that beautiful pashmina when you go to India. And it's always finding something that really takes your vacation back home with you.
How do you think tourism is like special events, is like giving, is like that sort of, I don't want to say hospitality, but that sort of enrichment for the visitors?
You know, shopping, I think, is something, you know, yes, shopping malls always have the same gap. I mean, whether you're Macerich or you're Simon or you're Triple Five, which is one of my clients right now with the American Dream, is it's really about like, how are you finding what's different? What makes us different? At the end of the day, we all have a Gap. We all probably have a Banana Republic. Maybe you have a Macy's in your mall. But it's really finding, it's like, why is your destination different from everybody else's? And, you know, with American Dream, I think it comes with its attractions. It's a destination in and of itself. And so when you're a shopping center, you really look at it as, how do I market my destination? Just like you're marketing, you know, Discover Long Island or NYC or New York City Tourism and Conventions. It's really, a lot of the marketing tactics are the same. And I think that what you want to do is you want to also really be, it's not about how many beaches you have, you know, compared to your competitors. It's really about how are you capitalizing on, you know, that emotion that it brings. And so the time that you're coming to either the Mall of America or American Dream, it's the interaction that you have. It's a family. It's like, what is it that I bought there that's different than what I could pick up at my other local shopping center? It's what is the dining experience? Because there are niche retailers and tenants in these that create the shopping experience. I mean, you want to keep them coming back, and it's sort of like showing your haul when you get home. It's like showing all the things that you bought on this vacation. And as I said before, bringing a little bit of that back to, you know, back home with you to always remember where you bought it at.
Who do you look up to as a mentor?
I think the biggest mentor that I ever had, her name was Martine Reardon, and she was the chief marketing officer at Macy's. And I reported to her for many years. And I believe that what she taught me was, is that you can never make a bad decision. It's always about making that decision and being decisive and not having your personal, I think it's your personal views come into play. It's about what's best for the business, what's best for the company. And that's really how I learned to be decisive and really running your department like it's your own company. And now that I have my own company and I have my own clients, it's really having their best interests, not what's best for Esposito Global Partners. When I work for a company like American Dream or doing a project with Tanger Outlets or Santa Monica Travel and Tourism, I ensconce myself in that culture to be able to understand, you know, if you understand their culture, it helps you to also make those decisions and be able to recommend.
What's something you wish you knew at the start of your career that you learned over time?
That's a really good question, Stephen. I think that probably earlier in my career, it's that, how do you work smart and not work hard? Because I think it's like really putting in so many hours and feeling, having the need to feel like you couldn't have that work-life balance. And when you work in special events, it's, you know, very early in my career, I worked at the Big Apple Circus, which at that time was a nonprofit, and I was the director of special events. And so there wasn't a lot in my 20s of that work-life balance. It was really, you had to put in the work, you had to grind it. I think that, you know, through the years of having really amazing mentors, and I think you learn that you can have everything. You can have both, and you don't have to feel like you just always have to be on and working, because it's, special events is an easy burnout, because it is long hours, it's weekends, it's evenings. So if you don't find that time for yourself, it's easy to get burnt out. And I wish I knew that earlier in my career when I first started out.
When you look back on the last 20 plus years of working in this industry, tell me about a day that stands out as being a fantastic day.
For me, I believe that it was the day that we got the approval to launch the Go Red for Women campaign. And it was special because I had to go to Terry Lundgren, the CEO at the time of Federated, and I had to make my pitch. And it was $1 million sponsorship is what the Go Red for Women, the American Heart Association, wanted to be a lead sponsor. And so I had to be the one to figure out, how are we going to pay for that $1 million? And we did that through working with the American Heart Association, of saying, you know, we had the Thanks for Sharing campaign that is, it's a loyalty program. If anybody remembers it back in the day, it was where you paid $25 and then everything that you spent from October through December 31st, you got back money in a gift card. So the more you spent, the more that you got back. And so that $25 always went to a charitable cause. And so at that time, I had recommended that the first $1 million that we raised through Thanks for Sharing, the rest of it went to Make-A-Wish Foundation, but the first $1 million went to the American Heart Association. And so being able to go in and say, I figured out how we can pay for this $1 million without coming out of an operating budget, and having that approval, I think was probably one of the most special days, because you really are giving back to the communities that you serve, and knowing that we were able to do that, and to have that be a long-lasting 20-something year relationship with the American Heart Association was special.
And what's a day of dread? What did you learn from it?
I think a day of dread was the day that I got laid off from Simon Property Group, and it was COVID, and it's, you know, you just saw it coming. I mean, obviously we were watching what was happening in China. We had Asian properties. I was the VP of global tourism for Simon for 5 years. And, you know, as shopping centers started to close and we started to let go of our agencies, I would have made the same decision. If you had to start to really eliminate departments, it's the departments that are going to be the slowest to come back. And so I think the dread was that I knew that I would be fine, but it's for your team. And the decision not to keep anybody on the team was, I think, really hard. And a lot of us in this industry, that's not a new story. It's just, you know, you worry about the people that work for you, and how resilient they can be, and what does that mean for them, at, you know, especially the junior people that might not have a savings and might be working paycheck to paycheck. So that was, I think, probably the biggest day of dread in my career.
You know, you make a point in saying that, you know, about the junior people on your team, and sort of the role that we have as leaders to watch out for them. How would you describe, or how would you like the people who've worked for you to describe you as a leader, or your leadership style?
As I said earlier, I learned how to be decisive from my mentor, Martine. And I really looked at it from the perspective of that I think that mentoring people is a privilege. I think that having a team, you know, I'm very fair. I don't ask people to do things that I wouldn't do myself. I'm in the trenches right there with them. But I also have a business to run. So I don't think that, you know, as far as I'm probably not the most nurturing leader, but I am super fair, and I do care about my team, and I care about their success, because as I said, it is a privilege to mentor people. And I think that a lot of bosses need to look at it that way.
Tell me about, how did you end up getting to be on the board of directors for Brand USA? And what does it mean to you to be a member of the board?
I think it's a real honor, because obviously it's not the Brand USA staff that's appointing. You're appointed by the Department of Commerce. And, you know, for my tenure, it was Wilbur Ross, who was the, you know, the secretary, and they make the decision. I sit on the retail and small business sector, because each Brand USA has, each sector is has somebody that has been appointed by Commerce. So, you know, from that perspective of having Julie Heiser reach out to me and ask me to put in my application, the first year that I put in an application, I was at Simon Property Group, and I was not accepted on the board because they were looking for somebody that was CEO level and that had audit experience. So that means that you're either a CFO or a CEO. And obviously I have budgeting experience, but not what they were looking for at that time. They were missing that on the board. And so Mike Gallagher, who is the president, founder, and CEO of CityPass, which is a small business, was chosen. And then when Mike finished his first 3 years, Julie called me again, and she said, you know, we've just gone through the COVID, you know, layoffs and everything that happened. I said, well, you can't get much smaller business than one person. And so obviously we still had clients. I was working with Tanger Outlets at the time on a project. So my application was accepted at that time. And so I'm just finishing up my first 3 years. And then obviously I will put in an application again to continue for the next 3 years, because there is the opportunity to renew.
What is something that you hope Brand USA is able to accomplish?
Brand USA is doing a lot of really amazing things of, you know, from a cultural standpoint. They're pretty much all now, they've gone remote. So they do still have the office that's in DC, but they have an opportunity of being able to really get the best of the best in talent by now having a remote pool. So I think from that perspective, I think that there is a lot of opportunity at the C-level suite for diversity. They're working with some, outside counsel from a diversity standpoint, and they are taking the diversity and inclusion, the DEI, very seriously. And they're also looking for new ways to, Stacey Melman, who is the new senior vice president of marketing, I think having her come in and looking at analytics and KPIs in a different way than they have in the past is also something that I think is going to bring them to the next level. So from the Brand USA perspective, I'd like to see more of, you know, what's to come with their marketing plans. We actually tomorrow is the start of the board of directors meeting. And so as they start to get out of COVID, and how are they going to continue to raise the money that they need to raise?
Yeah, money is always a factor when it comes to tourism and developing tourism. What advice would you have for somebody who is in a position where they have to fight for every dollar?
Just keep fighting. I mean, the way in my career, I always looked at it, and I've always said this to everybody in my staff. It's like, you know, when somebody would come with an idea, I'd say, well, would you write a check for that? And if they would say, yes, I absolutely would. It's like, it's really defending what you want to do. And I always looked at it from the perspective, and even, you know, with my clients, it's, you know, where you're looking at it from the perspective of, don't look at it because it's not in the budget. If you believe in it, you can always find the money. It's just like that $1 million that we were able to find for the Go Red for Women campaign. Is there co-op money out there? Is there some sort of grant money? I mean, you have a lot of money that's floating around, but it's just being creative. I think New York State right now is giving, from a tourism perspective, it's small businesses. So if you're a minority business, it's like there are a lot of ways that you can tap into the money, but it's how are you A, finding it, and B, defending it to be able to get the approvals to be able to push things through. And sometimes it's cutting in one place to get something from another. I think state DMOs really, you know, struggle a lot with the budgets. I mean, some of the private, you know, you've got the smartest is Visit California. I mean, Carolyn Beteta and the assessment and the way that they are able to, from a state perspective, look at getting money is just, I think she's one of the best in the business. And a lot of the state DMOs can, you know, look to those sort of, you know, mentors to be able to sort of look at how they're able to work through the politics to be able to, you know, fight for their money. It's not as easy. I see a lot of the state DMOs that struggle with that. And it's hard when you're dealing with politicians that really don't understand the importance of tourism.
I'll throw another name in there or somebody who's doing it well, Martha Sheridan in Boston.
Yeah.
On a local level. They just passed some legislation which tripled their funding overnight. So.
And Kristen Reynolds is another one that's at Discover Long Island. I mean, she's really doing some really creative things that are just, you know, fun. It's not, you know, it's like you have to, I think, look at it from the perspective of how are you creating that emotion with travel, and it could be shopping, it's whatever you're doing. How are you creating that emotion as, you know, a brand marketer that's going to keep people coming back?
So what is next for you?
You know, it's just, I'm really enjoying, I'm living my best life right now. I have to tell you that. It's, you know, it's like when you're, there's a part of me that as a consultant does miss where that leading teams and being part of culture. But I think, you know, for my business and, you know, the clients, the few clients that I have, I get to pick and choose. And if I have a client that is really difficult, I don't have to keep them. And we can part ways within 30 days. And that's happened in this part. Whereas when you're part of a company, it doesn't quite work that way. So it's, I think for me, as long as I can continue making a difference, and, you know, right now, because my career has really been in the retail shopping sector, I continue to have, you know, opportunities in that sector and bring it back. It's not, sometimes, you know, with working with real estate developers, it's rolling a boulder uphill, but I haven't been crushed by it yet. So it's
and if you could have a parting thought, what was the best quote you've ever heard?
Oh, I don't know if I can say it on. When I was in my 20s, he was the executive director of the Arkansas Symphony at the time. I was working in the music sector. And he said to me, lovely gentleman, he said, "My dear, the toes you step on today are attached to the ass you kiss tomorrow. So never burn a bridge and always, you know, be elegant in whatever you can do," even though it's not the most elegant word, but it's, I think that's something that I always remember, is that your reputation is everything. And I think that, you know, even in the most difficult of times, it's like, be grateful, be gracious, and just do impeccable work.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. If folks want to get in touch with you or hire you, how would they do it?
It's Kristen@EspositoGlobalPartners.com.
You are fantastic. Thank you so much, Kristen. I appreciate you.
Oh, thank you, Stephen. It's really been a pleasure.